You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
Amen. Again, pray you're encouraged already to be here as we do this together. It is certainly special. Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're in the second week of our essential series, The 5G Life. You should be obviously very, very aware of that. I want to remind us that this series is designed to help us follow Christ, listen, with maximum fruitfulness. That is the design of the series, that you would see maximum fruitfulness in your life to fully belong to this church at Hope Oakville. And the design of the series is that you would be blessed by God. So maximum fruitfulness, fully belong here in this church, and know God's blessing. I think that's a good plan, personally. And I hope you do, too. And that's what happens as we hear and we respond in obedience to the 5G life. Just again, not take anything for granted this morning, whether or not you know you were here last week, even if you were. The 5G life is our discipleship pathway at Hope Oakville. This is how we follow Christ. The tagline, you can see it on the screen there, how we follow Jesus at Hope. We are trying to make this as clear as we can. And speaking of clarity, let's just recap again the 5Gs. Again, taking nothing for granted. God time was last week, gather time this week, group time, Lord willing, next week, and then give time and go time. We go through each of these 5Gs, we unpack them, we seek to see our lives transformed in them, and that is a great encouragement. So today we're specifically going to unpack gather time, a love for God's family in a sense of gathering worship weekly again as the church. Just to articulate this, we'll put the next slide up again, even more so. This is our 5G life tree, which I love. We kind of redid this slide a little bit than a few years ago, but this is a neat way to see how this is so biblical, but it's also logical. What do you mean by that? Well, God time, let's say, is the roots of the tree. God time is where everything starts. That was last week. Jesus says, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. So we must abide in him to get strength and sap and nutrients, the roots that flow up. And that naturally, in God time, you know, individually, come together as gather time corporately. And so gather time becomes the trunk. The roots feed into the trunk of the tree. And we are established here right now in this place and in this way. And from there, though, we go into group time. Group time for some of the major branches, again, of the 5G life tree and the tree of discipleship in that way as well. We get together in groups for accountability, to be known, to love each other in kind of smaller groups and situations like that. From group time, then, it makes sense that we go into give time. We all have gifts by the Holy Spirit for saved in Christ. We have gifts. We need to steward these gifts and be used to serve, a massive component of what Jesus Christ commanded us to do. And then logically, again, from group time and give time, then there's a sense of we don't just hold it in with us. Now we go out and we are commanded to make disciples, to bear fruit again, locally and globally. And so go time is the actual fruit that comes from our lives in the sense of seeing more disciples made. So just, again, helping us understand the biblical, again, foundation of the 5G life, but the logical sequence of the 5G life as well, we pray that's encouraging to you. So today we specifically unpack gather time. And when it comes to gather time, here's our thesis, an overarching point for today. We have one main point. We'll have a few subpoints that we'll drop underneath that. Number one is this. Listen, gather time is prime time. Prime time. Gather time is prime time. It's our best time. It's the most exciting time of the week. It should be. When our theology is right, we will see it as such. And that's a big part of today too, okay, what I just said. When our theology is right and our heart is right, then we will start to understand there is no greater privilege than gathering as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the building of God, and the family of God. You see, when our theology is right and we see the church for what it actually is, there is no greater privilege on earth than gathering as part of the genuine body and bride of Jesus Christ. When we have a correct theology of the church, listen, then we have a greater love for the church. Those who fail to love the church of Jesus Christ, something's wrong with their theology of the church. Because what is the church? Well, the church is the community of God's redeemed people. The church was created by the Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Church is created by the Holy Spirit. Amazing. The church is made up of people united by nothing other than the blood of Jesus Christ, which far surpasses any biological family on earth. Eternally surpasses biological family on earth. The church is wrought by the Spirit of God. Why? In order to display and advance the kingdom of God on earth. You got to know this too, okay? The church, like the world mocks the church, scorns the church, laughs at the church, belittles the church, kind of just like, you know, persecutes the church. But listen, don't ever forget, loved ones, brothers and sisters, the church of Jesus Christ, the genuine church, is the most powerful and beautiful institution on the planet. The church is the most, I mean, no exaggeration, the genuine Christian church is the most powerful and beautiful institution on earth. Why? Because only the church of Jesus Christ has been commissioned with the gospel. Only the church has the message to save people from death, sin, and Satan. Only the church has been commissioned with this message of good news to see people go from death to life, eternal life, that is, again, rescued from the pit of hell. Let's see Apple do that for you, all right? They can't. It's impossible. No company on earth can do such things. The church of Jesus Christ alone has been commissioned with the news that sets people free forever. So the church then is without a doubt the most powerful and beautiful institution again on the planet. More theology today as it comes to the church. The church is the body of Christ, purchased by the blood of Christ, which then becomes the bride of Christ. Man, I love theology. I love when theology captures my heart and just helps me understand how much Jesus Christ, again, loves his church. Look at this piece of theology right here. If you haven't seen this, get ready to be blessed, okay? Love this. Watch this. The blood of Christ, Jesus died for the church. The bride of Christ, Jesus married the church. The body of Christ, Jesus is head of the church. Wow. Apparently, put this one up, Jesus loves his church. Apparently, the church is a massive deal to Jesus Christ. And all its ups and downs, and all its successes and failures, and all the different things that are going on, but the reality is, Jesus is not giving up on his church. He died for it, he married it, he's the head of the church. When our theology of the church is right, it changes again how we view the church then. We are way less likely to treat the church so casually as like one part of 20 other parts of our week. We are much less likely to date the church so selfishly. We are way less likely to criticize the church so willingly. More theology here today, loved ones. So important. You can't truly love Christ and not love his church. You can't separate the two. Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. You can't say, I love Christ and not love his church. It's a package. They go together. When our theology of the church grows, then our love for the gathered church grows with it. Furthermore, the New Testament word for church, ecclesia, where we get our English word ecclesiology from, which is the study of the church, ecclesia is defined as the called out assembly of God's people, the called out congregation, the gathered people of God. I want to say this too as I go through this message today. I know that some are here and you have been hurt by the church, discouraged through or by the church. I don't want to diminish that reality because I've also been hurt by the church. The thing what we cannot do though, we cannot in the reality of pain or discouragement or been, you know, let down in different times, we cannot, when it comes to the church, we cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. We cannot let the failures of sinful people take away from the design of a perfect God relating to his body and his bride, which Jesus Christ paid for with his blood. Jesus Christ is not abandoning his church. We can't abandon his church either then. Jesus Christ is with his church to the very end. We are called to do the same. And we are called not just to sit and criticize his church, we are called to make his church stronger, to be used of God and filled with his Holy Spirit, to bless his church, to be encouragers of his church, some of us to be leaders in the church, to shine light in the church, to love the church, to bring peace and strength again to the church. I love the theology we're laying down right now because it helps us understand, man, the gather time is prime time. There is no place on earth again like this when it's done again in the will of God and by the Spirit of God for the glory of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to use Hebrews 10 today as our foundation text to unpack what gather time specifically looks like. We're going to look at verses 24 and 25. But just before we get to verses 24 and 25, when you're studying scripture, again, always build context. It helps you understand what the Bible's teaching in the verses that you want to end up in. So let's start in verse 19. That'll give us some immediate context and help us again unpack with accuracy the verses that are to come. So verse 19, the Hebrew author says this, "Therefore, brothers," building off of what he said previously also, "since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus." Notice right away, the holy places, the holy of holies. The old covenant prevented anyone, again, except for the high priest once a year, from going into the very presence of God. Now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the curtain has been torn, and the presence of God is permitted to all who believe in Jesus Christ for sins paid by his blood. As we just said in verse 19, that's awesome. Verse 20, "by the new and living way that he opened to us through the curtain," what I just said, through the curtain, notice, through the flesh of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus, the flesh of Jesus now allows us to have access into God's presence forever, for all time, for those who have faith in Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for their sins. Verse 21, "and since we have a great priest over the house of God," so in the old covenant, the priest would make multiple sacrifices because their sacrifice could never fully atone for sin. Jesus Christ comes, he is called the great high priest. His one perfect sacrifice is the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. So Jesus Christ stands as a great high priest. He offers the perfect sacrifice that no other animal sacrifice would ever have to be made ever again, because the Lamb of God has sent himself to die on our behalf. The way is open. The way is open now to the very presence of God for eternal life and forgiveness of sins forever. Now, because of the reality of the gospel, which we just went through, now we see three let us's. Because of this, verse 22, take a look. "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Because Jesus Christ has opened the way, let us draw near with full assurance. No doubting needed. I know because of Jesus Christ, I can draw near with full assurance of faith that what Jesus did is legit forever. Let us draw near, verse 23. "Let us hold fast our confession of our hope without wavering." Yes, grab hold of the confession of our hope in Jesus Christ. Hold to it without wavering. Do not doubt. This hope is certain because he who promised is faithful. Let us, number one, draw near with faith. Let us, number two, hold fast the confession with hope. Let us, number three, our text now, verse 24. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another," listen, "and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So here's where we go into our specific verses now as well. So again, because of the gospel, let us draw near with full assurance of faith. Number two, let us draw near, or let us hold fast to our hope with the utmost confidence. And then thirdly, let us now gather together with love. And this is what points us into the rest of our time. We have four specific commands relating to gather time. We're asking the question, why gather time? Why gather time? Why do we do this? We had so many reasons already, but let's get specific from our text. Because it's here in gather time, number one, subpoint number one, that I stir up love. I gather as the body of Christ because it's here that I stir up love. Look at verse 24. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." So the letter of Hebrews was written to Hebrew believers in much trial and difficulty. They were believers who were repeatedly called to endure. In this very chapter, there's powerful exhortations to endure, to not give up, to keep going. Their need for encouragement was great. And by God's, listen, by God's design, this is again, sometimes the simplest things get lost. By God's design, the church is created that we would, in part, encourage one another to not give up. The church is God's design to stir up love and good works among each other. That was true in the first century. That's true, of course, in the 21st century. So notice the command there. The call is to stir up one another to love and good works. Stir up love. Stir up. That means to incite. incite love and good works among each other. It means to provoke. It's almost like in the Navy, you're poking someone, but this is a positive poke. You are provoking someone to love. You are provoking someone to good works in the body of Christ. It can also mean to stimulate. So someone is there. They are lazy. They are slothful. They are doing nothing. You again, this guy, you maybe kind of, you know, give them an electrocution of love. That would be awesome, right? You stimulate them and get the paddles out and bang, you wake them up to love and good works. We are called to do that with one another. One of the great reasons we gather together as the body of Christ. It's interesting, some are led to stir up division. Some are led to stir up gossip. Others are led to stir up dissension, not for the genuine follower of Christ. The command is to stir up, to provoke others to love. Again, behind the verb stir up, again, in the Greek, there's an intentionality of strength here. You are walking in. The command is, I will walk into a situation of gathered believers, and I am intentionally designed to impact others with love. I want to make an impact of love, to stimulate love and good works with the brothers and sisters that I gather with. That's such a beautiful vision. We gather to stir up love, to stir up good works in others. I also want you to notice in verse 24, notice the word consider. See it there? Let us consider. That's important, right? Consider what? Consider who we are in Christ. Consider what we're called to do in Christ. Like, I want you to do that now. Are you saved in Jesus Christ right now? Consider your calling. Consider your position in Christ. Consider your purpose in Christ. Now consider the plan of Christ for your life. Many parts of that plan. Here's one right now. Here's God. What is God's plan for my life? Well, here's God's plan for your life in terms of gather time. God's plan for your life is you will walk in and stir up love and good works among other people. That is God's plan for your life, without a doubt, 100%. It's right here in front of us right now. One of the beautiful reasons for gather time is prime time, because gather time is stir up time. So practical and powerful. Again, I want us to see this. Orangeville, Overflow, those of us who are here right now, you walk into this church, I want you to receive this command from the Lord himself. It's for you and me today. Part of your vision, you park your car, you walk across the street, whatever it is, you come in this place. Part of your vision every time we gather is you are coming in to see, how can I stir up love amongst, again, the brothers and sisters I meet? Who can I stir up to good works? Who can I love? Who can I encourage? Who can I bless in this way? Can you imagine if all of us did that? Wow. Like, can you imagine if this isn't a command just for a couple of pastors or elders. It's not a command just for a few small group leaders who are, you know, filled with some passion for the Lord. This is for everyone. This is for everyone. We are called to enter into this place with a vision of seeking to stir up love and good works in our midst with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Again, man, oh, I love it. It's so exciting in so many ways. If we all came in with that mindset and that attitude, man, this would be a stir up fest. And that would turn into a love fest. It would. Everyone seeking to do that, how incredible and how awesome, and how many of you are so good at this as well. But notice this, it's impossible to stir up unless you show up. And that takes us to point number two. Why gather time? I show up with priority. Where do you get that from? The Bible. Look at verse 25. So stir up one another, love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. So this is so true, eh? Isn't my wife, Joel, and I, we've learned this over so many years. So much of life is simply showing up. Like, that principle comes back to us again and again, even this week, again. So much of life is simply showing up. Church and prayer meeting this week. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, what a day. You show up and you're like, man, I would have missed out if I didn't show up. Showing up to our responsibilities, showing up with integrity, showing up again with fidelity to those, you know, aspects, relationships within our lives, showing up. Verse 25 carries with it a ton of strength. It's a strong admonition here, not neglecting to meet together. So it's not a suggestion. Hey, if you feel like you get around to it, you know, maybe if you're not too busy, whatever. No. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. Remember, gather time, meeting together becomes a priority when it means something to us. Or put in another way is this, we always give our time to that which matters most to us. That's what happens. I mean, that's just, we will arrive at places that we value most. We will spend time with people who matter most. We do things which matter most to us. So this is where the theology of the church can't be the same as your gym or your sport or your get-together with friends at a coffee shop or your whatever, workplace. Gather time in the Church of Jesus Christ is so much greater than that. And it, when we value it, it becomes the priority within our lives. And again, I said this in some ways already, I want to say it again. A right theology of the church leads to a right priority of the church. And this is what we're seeking to do today. And on that note, I just want to take a moment to renew our minds as to the purpose and theology of the gathered local church. What is the church meant to do? Why is this so special? We went through this a bunch already, but let's get more detail here before us right now on the screen beside me and behind me as well. Six main things we do as the gathered local church. Number one, we hear the word together. We hear the word together. The primacy of preaching in the church is what unites us all to the will of God. One of the strongest charges in the entire New Testament is 2 Timothy 4, and Paul says to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God who will appear and judge the living and the dead. I mean, he gives this massive, massive charge, one of the strongest charges in the entire Bible. At the end, he says, preach the word. Preach the word. E.W. Tozer said this. He said, 100 pianos all tuned to the same tuning fork are all tuned automatically to one another. This is what happens when the word of God is preached. We are listening together. We receive together. The word of God washes over us together, unites our minds together, encourages us together, shows us God's will together. And then ultimately, Lord willing, we want to be transformed together. There's nothing like it. The word of God preached, and we're all hearing the same message, accurately given by God's word, blessed by God's spirit, and changes us. And we leave saying, yes, I understand. We're together in this. The power of hearing the word of God together. Obviously, I'm pretty excited about that. Powerful and beautiful. Secondly, we exalt Christ together. We exalt Christ together. We are commanded to adore Jesus Christ, to worship Jesus Christ, to praise Jesus Christ. One of the great ways we do that as the gathered church is we sing to Jesus Christ, to praise the name through song, God's gift of music. The highest purpose of music is the glory of Him, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the way, here at Hope Oakville, to hear God's people sing, let's go. I mean, the encouragement it is to hear the people of Hope Oakville sing and sing loud and to engage in worship and to have hearts ready to love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Pastor Brandon's message 2 weeks ago on just the reality of true worship, and I'm so much behind everything he said and the exhortation of when you come, if you're abiding during the week and you enter in and you desire to praise and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, people in musical work time, the worship sit there like this the whole time. I struggle with that, bro. I struggle with that. I don't know what's going on. Like grumpy, frowny, hands folded, just observing, doing nothing. I don't think they're contemplating. I think they're like this, you know? Or others that are sitting there and like basically half asleep and what's going on. Again, I have a problem with that and I should. And you should too. Again, I understand some of us may be working the night shift and you're here. Man, praise God, that's awesome. But others, that's not their excuse. You know what I'm saying too? But being here and engaging and singing and a posture of praise and hands raised, hands cupped, again, eyes closed, whatever it is, knowing the song and worshiping and singing and honoring the Lord, man, there are a few things more encouraging. And what a vision it is that people would come in to this church and they're unbelievers, they've never been here, and they're looking around saying, man, these people really believe in what they're doing. They seem to really love, again, this Jesus that they're praying. What a witness that is. So powerful. Just met a girl last service, she here for the first time, and she's a Buddhist, and she came with a friend. And she was having a hard time articulating because her friend was like, well, like, how did you, what? I'm just like, I'm so glad you're here, so glad you're here. And just ask her, what did you think about it? And she's just like, kind of like looking at me. She's like, I just felt it was so warm. I'm like, that's great. And let me tell you about Jesus. We exalt Jesus Christ together as the gathered church. How awesome and encouraging that is. Thirdly, we pray to God together. We gather together. David Mathis said, we are made for more than private devotions. As great as they are, we were made to worship together. Private devotions, awesome, essential, needed. Then coming together, though, as the body of Christ, in this sense, to pray together. Hey, did you know there's a prayer meeting this Wednesday at 7 p.m.? Did you know that? Oh, I just want to make sure you know that. This is a gather time and prayer time meeting this Wednesday, specifically coming together. I mean, like, this has been the furnace of our church from 2003. And oh, Lord, may it stay that way. It is so hard to keep the furnace of prayer going because our flesh hates it and the enemy is terrified of it. So I'm saying Wednesday, man, prayer meeting Wednesday. Did I mention it? 7 p.m. 7 p.m. on Wednesday, coming together. But honestly, though, like those of you who have been to prayer meetings over the years, some of the sweetest times in our church, some of the simplest times, like it's not complex, sincere times, gathering together, praying together, seeking the Lord together, the presence of God together. Wow, 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 wow. The beauty of corporate prayer together. Fourthly, we observe the ordinances together. There are two ordinances that are commanded by Jesus Christ, his baptism and the Lord's Supper. One of the purposes of the church as we gather together is to see people baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to Matthew chapter 28. Can you imagine trying to be baptized by yourself? That'd be weird. Hey, I mean, that'd be weird. Maybe some have tried. That's just so strange to me. Think of the eternal joy in this room over the course of 20 years and hundreds of people baptized. I mean, even last week to see Aaron's testimony on video recapping one of the baptisms again for a few months ago, tears in my eyes multiple times, the joy, the blessing, look at what Christ is doing, to be together, and then the song comes and the worship and the praise and the exaltation. Jesus, only you can change lives this way, the glory of baptism together and celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ in that way. Amen, church? Amen, so good. And then, of course, there's the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, to gather together the beauty, the significance, to remember the death of Christ, to proclaim his death until he comes. One of the great purposes of the gathered local church as the body of Christ. Five, we are fellowshiped and strengthened together. We are commanded in Scripture to meet together, to greet one another, to welcome each other, to strengthen each other. Remember, God's design and command is that we gather together to encourage one another. Do you know in the New Testament there are just under 60 commands or one another's? Just under 60 of one another's in the New Testament to encourage and bless each other in that way. That is so beautiful. And the vision we have of gathering together to strengthen and encourage one another. Sixthly, we are called to encounter the Lord together. We are the building of God. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. The church, therefore, is the primary place, not the only place, but the primary place where God dwells and makes himself known. What a joy for me to hear people who testify that Sunday for them in this place is the place they cannot wait to get there. It is the place where they are refueled in their hearts, that they find the joy, because the reality is the rest of the week is hard and the world is dark. But they come here on Sunday morning, and I've heard, again, several people testify to this. They can't wait to get here, to receive the joy, to have their minds renewed, to be filled with energy and strength, and to go back in and survive another week, but be used for Christ and where they are as well. That is such a blessing to me. And I pray that for more and more and more people. You come in here, you meet with the Lord, you sense again his love, the encouragement of the body, strengthened. This is like unlike any other part of your week, because it is. And how the Lord would use that to fuel you up and fire you up and send you out to continue to be used of him. Without a doubt, gather time is prime time. And listen, that's why gather time is also show up time. Has to be our priority. Remember this too, eh? One of Satan's greatest strategies is to get people to drift away from the church. One of his greatest strategies is to isolate people from the church, to start distracting them with the world and deceiving them into lies, and causing them. What happens is it starts like one Sunday. That happens all the time. I've seen it dozens of times over the course of so many years. One Sunday, sleep in, not feeling the greatest, I'll just miss church. Next Sunday, something happens, activity, someone gets a call, whatever it is, I'll miss church again. All of a sudden, third Sunday, and like, I don't know. And all of a sudden, just a little pattern develops, and they start drifting away from the church, and they're in isolation. Remember, 1 Peter 5 tells us that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Lions, most often, they don't go for the biggest buffalo, man. They're always going for the weak and the young, the vulnerable, the injured that are straying from the herd. That's who they pounce on, and that's who they attack. And so maybe there's some here right now, here, Overflow, Orangeville, right in this room, and there's been a subtle but certain drift away from the church. Again, I've seen it too many times, and it breaks my heart. And you get away from the church, you get away from love, get away from accountability, get away from the word, get away from the worship of Jesus Christ, get away from participation, away from serving, away from the community of Christ, and you're by yourself, and all of a sudden there's no power, presence, love, again, being seen in your life at all. We must be super careful when it comes to gather time and show up time. Now, for those who object to what I just said here, some might be saying, or I've heard people say, well, I don't need the church, I just need Jesus. I don't need the church, I just need Jesus. Let me just say this too. The person who says that, you've just made a false dichotomy, okay? The person who says, I don't need the church, I just need Jesus, you've just made a false dichotomy. You say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Well, Colossians 1:18 says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. So, if you're saying, I just need Jesus, I don't need the church, what you're doing is you're cutting off the head from the body. And the last time I checked, a body without a head isn't going to do so well. And a head without a body, not going to do so well either. Right? So again, make sure that our theology is in line with what Scripture actually teaches. You cannot cut off Jesus from the church. Jesus Christ and his church, they go together, again, through thick and thin, and all that's happened. Again, if you love Jesus Christ, you will also love his church, recognizing, again, the faults, recognizing the pain at times, recognizing, not shying away from the difficulty at times that it is. But you can't just love Jesus and not love his church. Spurgeon actually called such a person who says, I love Jesus, not the church. Spurgeon calls this person a good-for-nothing brick. Now, why would he say that? Because Jesus Christ is the foundation. We individually are living stones being built into the household of God, 1 Peter 2. So therefore, an individual says, I love Jesus, but you take your brick and put it outside the building, your brick is standing over there by yourself. At that point, you are good for nothing. Because you are not part of the spiritual temple, the household of God, being built by living stones into, again, the building of God. It's beautiful. We are designed to be together in this way, to see how the Lord will use us in this way. Let me say one more time too, right? Listen, you're tempted to give up on the church. Been hurt by the church. I'm not discounting that. I have seen and heard so much over the course of my Christian life. I get it, but listen, you can't give up on the church. Why? Because Jesus has not given up on the church. That's why. If anyone has a reason to malign or to give up on the church, it's Christ. But Jesus is eternally committed to his church. He died for the church. He married the church. He's the head of the church. He's staying with his church to the very, very end. And we are called to do the same. And we are called by God's grace and his Spirit to strengthen the church, to make the church more beautiful, to be used in such a way that we bless those around us and love brothers and sisters in Christ, that we will come in and not criticize and be super grumpy and cause division and be used of Satan to make people hate one another. No. We are called to be in here as mature men and women of God, to grow in Christ and to love others in Christ and to see his church. Like, it's just so beautiful to watch and so beautiful to see, and this is what we're called to do. And all of this under the understanding that we show up with priority. Gather time, we show up with a priority, and thirdly this, we build up and encourage. I will build up and encourage. Look at verse 25 again. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more. So verse 25, quickly note, the word encourage is in the Greek, it's parakaleo. I don't do this often, but in the Greek, parakaleo. Para means come alongside, para church, paralegal, paramedic. Para, come alongside. Kaleo means to call. Call someone, get over here, come alongside me, I want to encourage you today. You, get over here, I want to bless you. To literally come along, you, come alongside, I'm going to encourage you and bless you today. We gather together to encourage one another. Understand this too then, right, for what we're learning here. The Christian life cannot be a solo mission. That's impossible. Based on all the theology we're learning today, those who say, I'm on a solo mission for Christ, listen, the solo mission is a selfish mission. Why? Well, in this context, when you go on your own and you never gather as the church, you're not there to encourage others. Selfish. Furthermore, if you never show up, you can never be encouraged by others. Sad. The Christian life, theologically impossible. It cannot be a solo mission. We are designed to be together. We are designed to do this together. We are designed to need one another. The eye cannot say to the hand. The hand cannot say to the eye, I do not need you. 1 Corinthians again, 12 and 14. We need one another by the very design of God. So we gather together to be this encouragement, to say, hey, come alongside. I'm going to bless you. And notice this too, right? The command is not sit in church and wait to be encouraged. People sit by themselves in the court. No one ever talks to me. Well, I don't want to diminish what you're going through, whatever. But at the same time, I think the step of faith is to say it's not waiting for someone to encourage you and then complaining if it doesn't happen, but actually taking the initiative to go encourage someone else. I think that's obedience and discipleship in Christ there. And what happens is, time and time again, you are used to encourage someone else, and then you get encouraged in the process as well. And the Lord, I mean, it seems like every time in some form, you are encouraged by someone else that you interact. And it's beautiful how it works. But we're not commanded to sit and wait and then complain. We are commanded to come in here and to encourage others. I'll say this too, just as an example that I heard this week. We have some dear saints in our church. So many wonderful people that seek to encourage every time they gather, and they're actively looking for people. And let's say the example of this room right now, or overflow, whatever it is. So we have dear saints in our church that I'm going to call this. They have the ministry of the sovereignty of God over the seats. Saints and the sovereignty of seats ministry, whatever you want to call it, all right? What do you mean by that? They come in here, and they anticipate every time they sit down, big church, a lot going on, a lot of people, whatever, but they believe that God has sovereignly appointed people to sit by them somewhere, that they're going to be used in that time to get to know the person, ask questions of the person, love the person, pray for the person, try to get the person connected, answer questions of the person, minister to that person, be used by God to bless the person, that God has sovereignly placed them near them in their seats, and I call them saints. That is awesome, all right? That's an awesome ministry. Can you imagine if we all did that too? You're coming in here, and it's not just about us or about me, whatever it is, and you come in here, you're not thinking just about yourself, but you come in here and you think, man, I believe that God has placed people around me right now. I'm going to be actively prayerful and looking for people that I can encourage and bless, particularly those who might be new or might be, again, wondering what's happening, or the Lord might be drawing to this place. Man, the ministry of the sovereignty of seats through saints. Again, however you want to call it, I'm not sure yet. It's not official, but it's good. And that is exciting, because we are called to gather to encourage one another, to build each other up again in the Lord Jesus Christ. Gather time is prime time, because it's here we stir up, we show up, we build up, and finally, we need to look up. We need to look up. I will look up with urgency, fourthly. I will look up with urgency. Why do you say that? Because the Bible does. Look at verse 25. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Man, I love phrases like this in Scripture. I love them so much. So the author right here, watch. The author just attached tremendous urgency to the preceding commands. These commands went to the top of the list. Stir up, show up, build up. You say, why? Why? Well, the end of verse 25. As you see all the more, he says, as you see the day drawing near. Day is capitalized in my Bible, should be capitalized in yours. That is the day of Christ. That is the return of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is teaching us here. Listen, ready? He's teaching us, live for what matters. Live for what matters. Look up. Christ is coming back. Feel the urgency. Therefore, show up, stir up, build up. Be about the kingdom, not about the world. Look, look, look. Christ is about to return. Isn't that interesting? And all the more as you see. What are you looking at, church? Brother, what are you looking at? Sister, what are you looking at? Looking at the world? Looking at materialism? Looking at money? Looking at celebrities? Looking at your stuff? Looking at your clothing? Looking at, again, stuff that's so trivial and here one day, gone the next? What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Well, the Bible tells us here, look up, look to Christ. He's going to return. You see the day drawing near. When you look up with urgency, you see the day drawing near. You're like, man, the moment Christ returns, the only thing that matters is his kingdom. The moment Christ returns, all that matters is Christ himself. The moment that Jesus Christ returns, all that matters is his church. Therefore, that changes how I live. Man, I gotta stir up love. He's going to return. I got to show up to his church. Man, he's going to return. I got to build one another up in encouragement. Wow, I got to make sure I'm living for that which actually matters. And we do that with our eternal vision, by seeing the reality, how short this life is and how much God wants to use us. And I love, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Priorities are changing as we go through this passage. The urgency we need to feel. I did another funeral this week on Thursday. And every time I do a funeral, man, it is grief on our sense, but it is also, it fills me with so much perspective. You know me, I love perspective. Like, life is short, man. It is short. And so soon, called to account, what was my life about? And right here, Bible's like, life is about gather time for so many different reasons. You see Christ, you long for Christ, you love the church of Jesus Christ. So just as we end here, listen to this final slide of application. We've talked a lot about this. I'll go through it pretty quickly here. Because gather time is prime time, therefore, I will prepare my heart beforehand. 10:30 service, a lot of people coming from a lot of different places, a lot of different situations. The plan is, or like the desire would be, you're abiding Monday through Saturday, and you come in here on Sunday, and you're ready to go. The idea is on Sunday morning, you know, so you have a couple more hours than the 8:30 service, all right? So you can get up at a good time and not rush to church. I mean, I can't do that. I got to be here early Sunday mornings, obviously. If I don't get up early enough to have extended time of quiet and peace before the Lord in his word and prayer, like I will just implode. You're like, well, you got to preach today. Yeah. But just it, regardless, every day of my life is like that. If I don't get the time to prepare my heart, it doesn't go well. I mean, everyone comes in prepared. Look out, look out, look out. Here's one for this service. I want to be punctual. Amen. You want to be punctual. Now, a lot of you are forced to be punctual so you can get a seat in this room, I guess, right now. Eh? It's never been harder. You know, I think we've never had more people coming to this church than right now. It is bonkers. This service is bonkers in recent months and all that's going on. And I mean, pray for us for wisdom and what the Lord wants us to do, because there's no easy solutions to all that. But again, it's just making church a priority. And by the way, if you're in this service and one of these you want to serve, it might be going to a service that isn't the 10:30. And you could be punctual at the 8:30 or punctual at the 12:30. But we want to make sure, again, if we show up late to work like five times in a row, you probably get fired. So we're not firing anyone here. As if we can do that. But hey, if the Lord is a priority, we show him that it's a priority. I will plan to give and receive. Again, we've talked about this all day today, but you're coming in with an expectation. I'm here to stir up love. I want to give, receive again from the Lord, and give again what's been entrusted to me. I will purge useless distractions. What does that mean Sunday morning, to get rid of the things that take our hearts away from the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the week too? I will participate in worship. Talked a lot about that today as well. Awesome to see. I will peruse the Gather Time booklet. Pastor Brandon put that together. And it's out in the foyer. We have printed copies. There's a QR code for a digital copy as well. But this is an extensive unpacking of the theology and application of Gather Time. And I really, really commend you. Go get a copy. And this week, to go through it again and remind yourself and just say, man, Gather Time is prime time. It is awesome. This is what I want to grow in. Lord, help us in this. So, Gather Time is pride time. Stir up. Show up, build up, look up. Let's get prayed up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word right now. And I mean, I love this truth, Father. I love the theology and I love the application. I love that the church has been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. I love that Jesus married the church and therefore it's his bride. I love that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And that's why, Lord, we're your body. It's so beautiful and powerful. So I pray for more and more hearts and minds to see the church as you see it. Yes, yes, not perfect. Yes, tons of flaws and mistakes. But ultimately, this church is going to be refined and perfected the moment Jesus Christ returns. So in the meantime, may we love you and your church. May we use this song to sing as such right now. Lead us as your church. In Jesus' name, amen, church? Amen.